Welcome to the Beacon Church Podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Amen and amen. Well, hey, you can take a seat. Welcome to our 10 a.m. It's great to have you here. Always a pleasure. Always a beautiful time in worship. Get lost in it. But it's so exciting to be here. Hey, who's excited about the fact that Christmas is 7 weeks away? I'm just going to say this every week from now on in. How are you feeling about 6 weeks? 5 weeks? Well, today's message might be for you because you might be feeling a little bit stressed, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear about the unknowns of the next few weeks. Some of you are running hard already and going, my gosh, make it stop, being 2024, that is. But today's message, I'm actually pretty excited to bring today, is all about the peace of God. The peace of God. And if you didn't know it, the peace of God is very different to this, the world's view of peace. You know, God's peace is a supernatural thing that each and every one of us, if you profess Jesus, if you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you can have the peace of God that surpasses understanding. You can be in the toughest time of your life going through hell right now, but at the core of you, you're just at peace. You just know that you know that you know that you know that your God is good and he's going to get you to the next stage, yeah? And today I want to talk to you about that because peace is incredibly important. In fact, last week I said that we wrapped up the Holy Spirit series. You know, this is the wrap up, but this portion of the Holy Spirit has been sort of sitting and kind of just been playing. I'm like, oh, am I going to go there? And I want to have a look at the dove today. The dove of the Holy Spirit, even wearing my shirt, like representing here, right? The dove of the Holy Spirit. The dove is such an interesting imagery that we have of the real Holy Spirit, the real living God. And the idea of the dove presenting peace is a very, very beautiful thing. Anyone have any idea why we actually know that the dove represents peace? Why is that? Where's that come from? From the ark. Yes, indeed. We're going to look at that in a moment. But we also have this imagery of Jesus in his moment of stepping into ministry, where the dove comes down from heaven and rests upon him. I want to have a look at these two passages of Scripture. I want to look at this idea of the dove and peace and how this plays out in our own lives as followers of Jesus, okay? So if you've got your Bible, who's got a Bible? Okay, hold it up really high if it's a real one, okay? If you've got on your phone, that's right. What I got to say this, I really love that Josiah's got a green Bible and he's got green shoes on today. Did anyone else notice that? What a fashionista. Like, do you buy that Bible specifically for the shoes or the shoes for the Bible? Because you look good. Shoes for the Bible. Yeah, I like that. See, no. Okay, anyway, side note. So we're going to open our Bibles today. I want you to follow along with us if you can. Write down these scriptures if you want to read it in your own time. But we're going to go to Matthew 3, 13 to 15. This is a moment where Jesus comes out to get baptized. He knows that it's time to activate his mission on earth, okay? Up until this time, carpenter's son, okay? He's just another man, and then all of a sudden he's stepping into the supernatural. And he's going to do the reason he's going to step into his mission for God, okay? So this is what it says. Then Jesus came from Galilee into the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be now so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, do exactly what's right. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, the heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, or other versions say, resting upon him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. So we've got this vision, this version that says, hey, there's this image like a dove rests upon Jesus. In the book of John, the same account is recorded, John 1, 29 to 34. You can flip across to that or watch on the screen. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here's the revelation of who it is. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man of whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. For I have seen and testified that this is God's chosen one. Both accounts talk about this dove resting upon Jesus. As I mentioned, the dove represents peace and has always been and a symbol of peace right since the ark. And when Noah was in the ark, right at the end of, well, the whole world's been destroyed, it's underwater. In chapter 8 of Genesis, we read about this sort of arrival of the floods are over, but where do we actually rest this boat and can we actually start the world again? Can we actually have a new beginning? Is there peace with man and God again? Because God has wiped out man because of their evil. It says this in Genesis 8. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heaven had been closed and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could not find nowhere to perch because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back into himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days, again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return. After this passage of scripture, you say that God says to Noah, hey, it's time to come out of the ark and reestablish things. And he puts his Noahic covenant together with, I'll never flood the earth again. And the whole symbol of the rainbow, and it's an amazing passage. But what's super interesting is from this moment, we find that God makes peace with man, and this dove with this little olive branch is a symbol of God's restoration, power, and peace. Super interesting, though, in our Western culture, we actually have this symbol of peace because after Second World War, the United Nations decided to take that idea of peace and use it as their emblem. And if you've got it up here, this is actually where we get this sort of imagery. You know, it's amazing how the world takes things from the scripture and goes, you know what, we're going to use that. It says, I'm in favor of worldwide peace. Spread this idea and war will cease. 1945, the dove with the olive branch. However, I want to say this, that the world's idea of peace and God's idea of peace are very different. You see, the world's idea of peace is tolerance. How much can I tolerate that person without causing argument? And so what we find is a world that says, we all want to be at peace. It means the person that barks the loudest out of their disappointment and offense, we need to tolerate them the most. That will bring about peace. But God's peace is so different. God's peace is so incredibly different. The dove and the olive branch, as I said, still used today. United Nations, they want peace, but who knows, to have true peace, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit. You actually need what Jesus received in that moment. I want you to understand something. Before Jesus did anything in his ministry, he actually received the peace of God. Think about it. Jesus goes out to the Jordan to get baptized by John. John is declaring that he's on his way. And when he sees him, he says, this is the reason. This is who it is. I'm going to baptize to set him into his ministry. Jesus steps into the Jordan, convinces John, you've got to baptize me. And in the moment of baptism, in the first moment of obedience, Jesus is stepping into his ministry saying, whatever you have, God, I'm prepared to do it. I'm going to be obedient to the call you have on my life. By the way, he knows that he's going to go to the cross. He knows he's about to step into 3 years of ministry that are going to be pretty full on. And I got to tell you now, it was going to be living hell for Jesus at the end. And Jesus decides out of obedience, I'm still stepping into those waters because I'm going to do what you asked of me. As soon as Jesus steps into the waters of obedience, what happens? The heavens open and peace rests upon Jesus. It falls like a dove. The Holy Spirit rests upon Jesus. And when you actually look into a whole bunch of scholars, we say, well, where did the dove sit? Was it on his shoulders? Where was this dove? What did it look like? Because both accounts say it came down like a dove. Many say it would have rested upon his head. And I believe this is actually to fulfill a passage of scripture in Isaiah 9, this prophetic word that is spoken about the coming Messiah and what he will be known as. And I want to have a look at this 700 years before this moment. This passage is written in Isaiah 9. It says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. This is happening in the Jordan, okay? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. What did John say? I've seen a great light. This is the moment. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. There's freedom coming. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled into blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. In other words, there is peace coming. And it says this passage, and this is one of our favorite Christmas passages. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. In this moment, Jesus fulfills this moment, and I want you to picture this as the dove descended upon his head. He was crowned with a garment of peace to become the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace from this moment forward before he even steps into his ministry. Directly after he receives the anointing, the covering, the garment of peace, what happens? It says that God speaks. This is my son who I'm well pleased. The love of the Father is then lavished upon Jesus. He's done no ministry. But first comes peace, second comes love. And what happens after that? Jesus is fully equipped to do what God's called him to do. We know this because directly after this moment, Jesus called into the desert to do what? Pray and fast for 40 days and be tempted by Satan before he can even enter into the things that are ahead. And I'm going to say this right now. I don't believe that Jesus could have even done those 40 days unless he had the supernatural peace upon him. Without that mantle of peace upon him, resting upon him, he wouldn't have got through those 40 days. Prayer and fasting, being tempted by Satan, he defeats him 3 times. Then he gets attended to by angels, restored, and then he is sent on mission. The very next chapter in Matthew is an incredible moment because Jesus actually goes, where is John the Baptist? He's been arrested. He's in jail. And what does it say in this passage? This is so blows my mind because we just went to Isaiah 9 and it says this. When Jesus had heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee and Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, of light has dawned. This is prophecy coming to life. Jesus is fulfilling it left, right, and center. The peace of God is upon him. He has the power to do everything that God has called him to for the next 3 years. The peace of God gives you a supernatural edge. You can never fulfill the things that God's calling you to without the peace of God. Everything flows from that peace. It's the filter we need to do our life through. Do I have the peace of God in every decision? The supernatural edge so God can show you which way to go. I love to test it. Do I feel peace? If I feel anxiety or fear or doubt, I feel uneasy, guess what? I walk away from that decision because I know my God gives me peace. God, what do I do today? Do I feel peace? Do you know the peace of God? Are you in tune with the peace of God? The peace of God hits, the love of God hits. And anyone who's experienced the peace and love of God, can I tell you, you will never, ever, ever be the same. You will never, ever, ever be the same. In fact, The scriptures say about the peace of God, it's the supernatural peace of God. We've all heard this scripture a million times. Philippians 4, 4 to 7, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, let your peace be known to all. When people come into contact with you, let's show your peace. Let's show up with gentleness. And then it says this, the Lord is near. In other words, when you show up and you've got peace in your life, God is close. God is close to you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Your understanding says, but I don't have a job and I'm going into Christmas, but the peace of God says, my God is for me and not against me. He will provide me my every need. I'm the head, not the tail. I am a son of God, the heir to the throne. I don't have to worry. It's supernatural. Your understanding says one thing. It surpasses understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul was trying to teach the early church, hey, when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you will have the evidence of peace in your life. It is a fruit of the Spirit. The peace of God will be upon you no matter what. The peace of God got Jesus through those first 40 days and 40 nights. Prayer and fasting. No doubt Jesus was requesting to God many things. But he also had a place of thanksgiving in his prayers. He stood firm, and when the test came, he took down Satan in that first test. Understand that the Holy Spirit wants to anoint you with peace. He wants his mantle to rest upon you. He wants you to go in peace and be a blessing to those around you. What do people experience when they come into your, like just into your area, when they're just around you? What do they experience? Is it anxiety, fear, frustration? Or is it peace? Or is it peace that surpasses understanding, that people go, I just want to be around you, man. You just, there's something about you that even though my world is in torment, I want to be in your presence, the peace of God. The peace of God and the love of God will change everything. As your pastor, I've got to tell you, you have got to learn to understand what the peace of God feels like. You need to be able to know that's the peace of God that hits. When understanding says this is ridiculous, but the peace of God overthrows it, you go, there might be something God wants me to do right now. I need to step through this door. I was saying to the 8 a.m., and I'll say it again, I remember in my age of 20, and I've shared my Woodridge stories. I like to share my Woodridge. I lived in Woodridge for 5 years. But how I got to Woodridge is really crazy when you think about it. The only reason I got there was I was young. I had to get out of a really crazy housing situation. I rocked up in a neighborhood that was rough as guts, not because I wanted to, because I wanted to buy a house. My bank told me I could borrow enough money for one suburb in all of Brisbane, and that was Woodridge / Logan Central. I was new to Brisbane, and I didn't know any different. Came from Toowoomba. I'm like, how bad can it be? Okay. Anyone live here in Woodridge? Man, that I know revivals hit when Woodridge people rock up. Anyway, so. But I remember the day that I actually called my own dad. I found out I could afford some money to buy a property. I called my dad. He's a man of faith. I said, Dad, I'm going to go buy a property this weekend. I just needed to get out of my house. I'm going to buy a house, going to buy a unit. My dad said, really? I said, yeah, come down from Toowoomba. So we came down. He came down. I remember we went to two complexes. We went into two complexes to check out some units. And I kid you not, I genuinely thought I was going to die. Like the people in the complex, they were so rough. They were peeking through the blinds, almost like, get out of our complex. We left as quick as we went in. And it's interesting that we even went to a third complex, because after two, you'd think maybe you'd realize this is not for me. But we thought we'd go to the third one anyway. And I remember rocking up. There was palm trees out the front. It kind of felt a bit peaceful. Graffiti all over the fences, but whatever. I remember walking into this unit. The real estate agent, he was really upset. Like he was sort of upset for us because he was apologizing about the tenants, how disgusting they were. And sure enough, they were. We walked into the unit. There was like this horrible green wall. There was another crimson red wall. There was like a mattress rotten on the floor. There was bird cage with feathers everywhere. No bird. I remember walking through. I'm not joking. I think it broke the lock and got out of Woodridge anyway. So But I remember walking through this unit and everything in the natural was, get the heck out of here. But the overwhelming sense of peace hit me. I can't explain it. I remember walking through that unit, going upstairs. I remember the real estate agent still talking, apologizing about this unit. And I didn't know why, but I just felt such peace about it. I honestly felt like I was home. It was weird. I remember going out the front and talking to my dad, man of faith. I said, how do you think? What do you think about this place? He goes, feels good, doesn't it? Now, that real estate agent must have thought on that day, they're both high. I did have dreadlocks, okay? But my dad, he had the same peace. He's like, it feels good, doesn't it? Yeah, let's pray about it and make an offer. So we did that. And half an hour later, I got a call. It's your lucky day. You've got your first property at the age of 20. Now, the thing is, I think for him, he was like, I can't believe it's a miracle. I sold something in Woodridge, you know? Now, what I didn't know is that the peace of God that transcended understanding was setting me up to be a blessing for my community I was about to move into. He made a way for me to feel that peace. And I tell you what, when I moved in, I didn't feel the peace for about 2 months. I checked my doors every night. I locked those doors. I thought, man, I'm going to die. I remember calling my mate saying, how do I get out of here? So you need to live there for 12 months. But God had another plan. He wanted me to meet my direct next door neighbor in a night where there was a blackout hit my complex. I went and bought KFC. The Holy Spirit told me to buy him KFC. And then I rocked up to his house, pitch black, knocking on the door. Hello, what do you want? Okay, got some chicken. He opened his door to me. We ate chicken for an hour and a half. And because of this weird friendship, he ended up finding Christ. But it wasn't just a direct, hey, do you want to know Jesus? He opened up to me about 3 months later. He'd done 14 years jail for manslaughter. He's a killer. I said, you need Jesus. I invited him to church. He was against it. If you want to listen to the whole story about this, we'll call it the Bob story. It's on the podcast. I shared this a while ago. The full story about Bob, my neighbor. But guess what? Bob got saved. Then he had a revelation of the Holy Spirit. He prayed for his niece who was in jail. She wasn't supposed to get out for 7 years for attempted murder. He prays and she gets out. So she gets saved. Fast forward 6 months, Bob passes away after about 3 years of, you know, so we did about 3 years together of this Woodridge community, all getting to know each other. God moved in miraculous ways, touched many lives while I lived there for 5 years. I did Bob's funeral. I did Rhonda's funeral. I'm still connected to Bob's family. They still live in Woodridge. And I look back at my story and my life, and the only reason, the only way I could have ever decided to live in Woodridge was the supernatural peace of God that literally blinded me to the truth. Thank you, Jesus. When you have the Holy Spirit, when you know God's love, the love of God will pour out of you. You'll see ways to bless others. 1 John 4 says this, so we have come to know and believe that the love of God has what the love of God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. In other words, in perfect love, God provides peace. When you know the love of Jesus, he will give you a peace that doesn't make sense. But he will, I'll tell you now, he'll change everything in your world. God loves you. I'll tell you, I just want you to know, if you walked in here today, can I say congratulations, you overcame your fear stepping into a church. That's weird enough. But hear this now, God loves you. He loves you the way you are. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you peace. You know, it's not just us who experience moments where we lose our peace. The disciples, when Jesus said, I'm going to go away, I'm going to die. He's telling the disciples, boys, it's time for me to leave. They get anxiety hit them. They're anxious about losing their rabbi and what's going to happen next. And they go through this, but Jesus assures them of this peace that's available to them in John 14. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Jesus then unpacks, if you know my Father, you know me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He then goes on to say that you're adopted. You are my sons and daughters. It's an incredible passage of Scripture. And right at the end of John 14,
Jesus says this in verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the helper of the Holy Spirit we're talking about, whom the Father will send in my name." This hasn't even happened yet. The same Holy Spirit we have today. He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of God is more than a breathing technique. Church, this is not about how I can come and touch things and be present. And that's all great. You really want peace? You need the peace of God. The supernatural peace of God that comes only from the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit's peace that He can transform your life to a point when you read passages like Matthew 6:25, which says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, tomorrow will worry about itself." It's very easy to read that, but then to outwork it, "Don't worry about your clothes and what you're going to eat and where you're going to go." It's very hard to do it naturally, but when you have the peace of God, you just know. Whatever my circumstance, whatever I'm going through right now, God's got me. He already told me. I'm not an orphan. He has a place for me, prepared for me. I'm His son. I'm His daughter. He's already told me these things. He said, "Peace I leave with you." You don't need to worry about this stuff. I don't know what you've come in today worrying about, but you need to worry no more because God has it covered. Maybe you're anxious about this week with the elections over in America because it's all over the TV. Understand the number one thing that sells the media is fear. But what you need to know is governments rest on His shoulders. Doesn't matter who gets elected this week, God is still in control. And He can work together all things for good for those who love Him. In a situation that might seem out of control, I'm just saying the peace of God changes everything. And we need to apply it in our own lives. We need to be able to step into a place where the peace of God, just like when Jesus stepped into obedience, when we step into obedience following Jesus, we're saying, "My life is not my own. Now I want to follow everything you have for me." You're stepping into places that don't make sense, that might be scary, but you have a peace that is so far beyond your circumstance, you'll be able to do things you never thought you'd be able to do. I remember years ago, I was sharing this with the 8 a.m. I remember years ago, I knocked off work at like 10 p.m., 11 p.m. at night. I was with a mate of mine. And I was working in Milton and we were going to walk up to Park Road for a late night coffee. Used to have a very weird late night life. We were walking up this dark road and on the other side of the road, about half a dozen street kids were walking on the other side of the road and we had our heads down, we're just walking, minding our own business and then all of a sudden we get this voice, "Oi, you got some money?" And you know what you think in that moment? Run! Like, you know when that moment of like, "We're going to die. It's been nice knowing you. I won't have a final coffee." There's this stuff that goes on within you. You just know, you go, oh my gosh, what do I do? Do we run? Do we try and just avoid that? And maybe they'll go away. But can I tell you, I remember tangibly, that same tangible peace of God that got me into that unit in Woodridge. I remember the peace of God hit me so hard. It was just like a rushing of peace. And this empathy and sympathy and compassion I had for these kids, man, it was so overwhelming that I remember my mate, he's like a really, let's just call it, he's an accountant, okay? And very stiff. Sorry if you're an accountant, but you know. I'm yet to hug an accountant that's not stiff, okay? Chad, you want to hold me later? I don't know, like, anyway. I remember this moment, so, you know, where these kids are there and I'm here and the peace of God hits me and I go, "Yeah, no, what's going on?" And I start crossing the road and I go to my mate Dave, "Let's go." And he's like, "What are you doing?" So let's go talk to him. He's like, "Are you stupid? You know, mug it, stake everything," you know, like he's just freaking out. And I remember going across the road and I start chatting to these guys. I'm like, "Hey, what's your story?" The love of God compelled me. When the love of God's in you, it overcomes. Perfect love drives out all fear. And I remember being in this moment going, "Hey, what's your story?" You know? And they're like, "Oh, we just walked all the way from Sunnybank back in the city. We were down there, we did some community work. They promised us $50 each to do this skit thing or whatever. And they paid us $50 total, so we're pretty bummed. So we walked all the way back in and we've just got really upset, so we've just been chroming. So they spent all their money on paint, and they've been sniffing paint all afternoon. And I remember saying to these kids, I go, hey, have you guys eaten? They're like, nah, man. And I said, we're going to Macca's next to the Suncorp Stadium. And my mate Dave's like, what are you doing? Right? Like, it's just getting, he's just going, no, this is not good, you know? And I remember going to Macca's and I said to the oldest guy, I said, hey, just order whatever you want. So they did. Like, they really did. Like, they didn't just get a meal. They're like, double quarter pounder, McFlurries. Like, they just kept ordering. And I'm actually thinking, as a young guy in my 20s, going, I don't even know if I've got enough money. Like, they ordered so much food, the six of them. And they were just like, they just went next level, right? So I went up to the counter. I go to pay. And I remember the lady behind the counter. She was a manager on at the time. She goes to tell me how much it is. And it was like half price. And I said, are you sure that? She goes, it's fine, mate. Well done. And I sat down with these kids at a round table. And I remember the mountain of food that arrived. And they're just smashing these cheeseburgers and smashing it. And the oldest sibling, I'm talking to him, where do you live? He said, oh, I live under the bridge over near the Paul's Milk area. There's a bit of a space. I live there. And I said, do you have nowhere to go? And he's like, no. If we go back home, my uncles will beat us. And it was full on. Like, the story was crazy. And I'm like, oh, okay. And as this is all happening, they're all, you know, they're smashing this food and they're all swearing like nothing else, right? Like the most colourful language, right? And one of them's like going, you're like an effing angel, man, like this to me. And another one's like, yeah, dreaded angel, right? You know, and I'm like, oh, thank you. And they're doing this. And then one kid starts swearing about something else. And this oldest brother, he tells him, he goes, oi, show him some effing respect, right? You know, and I'm like, I've never felt more loved in my life. Remember talking to these kids. It was probably about an hour or so we're sitting there. My mate Dave was imploding for every moment. And I said, hey, here's my card. I said, if you need help, like, just give me a call. I don't know if I can help you. I don't know. Like, if I can, just give me a call. To this day, I've never seen them again. The peace of God hit me that night. And when the peace of God hits you, like in a real way, you'll do things you never thought you could. Because it's not you. It's Christ who lives in you. And the mantle of peace that fell on Jesus that day in the moment of obedience is the same mantle we can actually receive in Christ. As followers of Jesus, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear anything. We know we've got eternal life with Jesus, so what does it matter? It actually makes Romans 8 come to life where it says this in 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. If you don't have a peace of God in your life right now, I want you to understand something. If you are feeling anxious, understand this. Jesus is at the right hand of the throne praying for you. He is interceding nonstop, praying for you. You would understand his love and his peace. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. You know, when we're talking about the persecuted church, we don't experience this here. And thank God we don't have to experience this. But this is what our brothers and sisters experience every day. This scripture makes sense to them because they're going through it. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. To receive his peace, to walk in his love, to live and love others without fear. to have peace reign in our hearts, like it speaks about in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell amongst you as richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Church, today, I'm going to pray that the peace of God would reign and fall. And just like we step into obedience and say, I follow you, Jesus. Remember, it was the moment of obedience that came first. I think about this often. Jesus, 30 years of age, he knew it was coming. He knew he was on earth for a reason. No doubt his parents told him about his coming to earth and the stories he would have heard. And at the age of 30, he knew that this was the time where the rubber hits the road, where he would have to go through extreme pain. He knew his body would be torn apart. He would be crucified. Before he got there, though, he would have 3 years of ministry. But before he even started that ministry, he would have to be obedient in a place of baptism, which is ultimately dying to oneself. Being raised out of the waters of baptism was his new spiritual life. Because of the obedience of God, the obedience to God, the peace of God was able to rest upon him. What's God calling you to? What do you need to be obedient to so the peace can fall upon you? Maybe you've never surrendered your life to God. Maybe you've never actually gone, I'm actually going to be obedient to whatever you call me to. I don't care about death. I'm not fearful of death. I'm not fearful of what you might have for me. I just want to be obedient. What is it? First, the peace will fall. And then the revelation of God's love. He's proud of you. And then you can step into whatever he has for you with every good gift that you need to fulfill what he's called you to. Their eyes closed real quick. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never actually said, God, I need you. It says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be set free. And maybe you've come in today and you've never actually confessed that. And you want to choose to follow Jesus today. I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are so I can pray for you. Across the room. That's you. I need to give my heart to Jesus. Yeah, man. Awesome. That's always so good, man. Yeah, give me a round of applause. Awesome. All you have to do is to say, Jesus is Lord. I want to follow you. Is there anyone else today who wants to join this young man and start their life with Jesus? Well, for the rest of us, I'm going to pray for you right now, actually, mate. God, I thank you for your son. You love him. You've adopted him as your own. He no longer has to have fear in his life. The peace of God fall upon him. May you pour out your love for him as he chooses to follow you all the days of his life. In Jesus' name, amen. For the rest of us, I'd like us to stand right now. With your eyes shut, I want you to reflect on what I've talked about today. God's peace is here. His Holy Spirit is here. Maybe you've never really felt the peace of God. You still struggle with so much fear and doubt and anxiety. And man, you need the Holy Spirit peace to rest upon you. You need to surrender to God and say, Jesus, would you anoint me? Would you cover me with your peace? Would you rest upon me with your peace? Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and I want to follow you with it. That's you today. You just need the peace of God. I just want you to lift your hands towards heaven because he wants to give you his peace. It's a free gift. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Just lift them really high and just say, Lord, I receive your peace. Lord, I receive your peace. Holy Spirit, would you reach out right now. Would you come down to send upon your people? Would you fall right now, Holy Spirit, with your peace that surpasses understanding, that will guard hearts and minds. May the minds of the people that have had their raised hands, that their minds will no longer run out of fear, but they will just be at peace, knowing that you're guarding their mind. For those with broken hearts, those with hearts that are full of fear and anxiety and doubt, wonderings, God, I pray that you will guard their hearts from that kind of experience. Would you lay your peace upon their hearts? The psalmist, I think, really caught and understood the reason he could have peace. He understood that you could never escape from God's Spirit. He is always with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 139, 7 to 12 says this: where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. We're going to sing again, but as we sing, I want you, between you and God, I want you to present your request before him. Praise and thanksgiving. Be reminded of what God's already done for you. But may he release you of your anxiety. May he bring you the peace that is something that is supernatural, far beyond your understanding, knowing that God is moving in your heart. Ask God, what is it you needed me to step into? What obedience have I held back from for me to experience what you have for me? Spend some time with God as we sing. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your peace that you're pouring out right now across this room. Would you touch each and every life so we can go into our week full of peace? Your anointing covering us with your peace everywhere we go. As we walk into every situation, may your peace be evident. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.